Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today I am talking to Dr. Kathy Pratt about autism and the Indiana Resource Center for Autism. Dr. Pratt writes and presents internationally on autism issues. She has served on numerous advisory boards in Indiana and nationally. Prior to pursuing her doctorate at Indiana University, Dr. Pratt worked as a classroom teacher for students across the autism spectrum and those with other disabilities. Kathy Pratt is here with me today. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. Let's talk about how you came to work with those on the autism spectrum and why you chose to work in this field.
I have to tell you quite honestly, I don't know that it was ever a decision I made. I think it was a decision that was made for me. And when I was a teacher, I oftentimes ended up with the students who had some of the most challenging behaviors.
Sure.
And seemed to really connect with students with autism. And then from a very early age, I got involved with the Autism Society. And that ended up being kind of the path that I ended up being on. It's been kind of a happy path. It seems to be a good fit for me.
So. Good, good. And we appreciate your work. Thank you so much for that. What changes have you seen in the field as far as services, supports, and what can you share about if a child is newly diagnosed?
So what I will say to you is this, is that I've been in this field for decades. And when I first got involved, the incidence was about 1 in 10,000. Okay. And now the incidence is 1 in 68. So we see more children. The other thing that I see as a difference is that I very seldom anymore see a child who just simply has autism. Most of the individuals that I see, and we know that in individuals on the spectrum, that there's about an 80% co-occurring health or mental health issue going on.
Okay.
And so the children, the students that I'm seeing these days oftentimes have co-occurring mental health issues as well. And that probably is the biggest change. And so they come to us with a lot of complex issues.
Sure.
I think that also we have to be, because I do a lot of work in schools, have to be cognizant of the changes that have also occurred in schools, which is that schools are seeing more kids who are living in poverty, more parents who have their own mental health or drug issues as well.
Sure.
So I tell people that in my profession, there are more children with more complex issues living more complicated lives. And as a result, that means that there's not going to be an easy answer for them. So, and I would like to be able to tell you that a lot has changed.
Yeah.
I think that there is obviously greater awareness. When I first got involved in the field and I would tell people what I did, they were like, what is that? And now when I tell people what I do, they say, oh, we have a child, we have a cousin. We have a grandchild. We have somebody who is on the spectrum. So there is growing awareness of it. But I will tell you, you know, probably about 10 years or 15 years ago, we did a survey in Indiana about individuals on the spectrum and found out that about 80% of our folks were un or underemployed. And unfortunately, that figure hasn't changed significantly. And we know that individuals all across the spectrum, even those who are highly gifted, oftentimes struggle with employment opportunities.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled that the ARC of Indiana has taken on the charge in Muncie with the Erskine Green Training Center.
Isn't that wonderful? That's
a wonderful project. And I think, you know, there are other things going on with corporations like Project Search and other things that I think are so needed in Indiana and beyond.
And we were talking about how, you know, there's dual diagnoses. So is that where the trepidation for service is? Is we just don't have enough to accommodate the dual diagnosis, or?
I think there's a trepidation in several areas. I used to hear from physicians that they were not willing to give a child that diagnosis because they didn't know where to tell parents to go. And so then we worked with a number of organizations across Indiana to develop a booklet called After the Diagnosis.
Yes.
And we are now, I think, on our third print of it.
It's amazing.
And that we've had hundreds of thousands of copies of that distributed that tells families exactly what to do. And actually, pretty soon we'll have a new publication coming out because we realize that there's a population of individuals who don't get diagnosed until they're adolescents or adults. So we're having a version of it come out for those who are diagnosed later on in life. So there's that early on trepidation that, you know, we try to get awareness out. And actually, ARG of Indiana is partnering with us on an Act Early website, so that the goal is, it's a project through the Centers for Disease Control, is to promote early identification and awareness so that children can have earlier intervention. I think what's happening in Indiana, and this is, you know, this is something that I am very passionate about, and I will tell you why I'm passionate. We do parent group meetings around the state. Every year, IRCA chooses a number of areas of the state that we speak to parent groups. And so often in those parent group meetings, a parent will come up to me and talk to me about their child who has a co-occurring ASD diagnosis and mental health. And they'll tell me that, you know, they don't know where to take their child to if their child is having difficulties. And so, unfortunately, the solution has been to tell parents, call either the emergency room or take your child to the emergency room or call the police. And neither one of those are acceptable answers. And so I know that our community mental health centers our struggle with serving individuals with co-occurring diagnoses. And some of that is a funding issue, and some of that is a workforce development issue. And so, but, you know, the thing is about it is this, is people do not fit into nice, neat boxes of categories. You know, we have to look at people and say, what do they need? And then we have to figure out how to get those services to them. And so at Indiana Resource Center for Autism, we just got a grant around mental health and are going to be working in that field and very interested in systems of care and how systems of care can be strengthened across Indiana. So that's a solution for families and for individuals that we serve.
And let's talk a little bit about the guide that you just talked about. I thought it was amazing. And one of the things in the guide was, whether you're newly diagnosed or into the spectrum disorder, you need to be organized. And there, because there's so much disorganization when you're newly diagnosed, or even just the emotion of it. So talk about how parents can start the organization process and what it really does for them.
I think, you know, when families get that diagnosis, now they're on a journey of discovery. And in that journey, they're going to be meeting with many professionals, many practitioners who are going to be giving them different guidance. They're going to have their child looked at by a number of individuals. And so for us, it's that you have to have some way of organizing that information. So when you get questions about your child, you have a way of kind of having that documentation at hand, and so that you can kind of relay the progress or the steps that your child has been through. And I think it's really overwhelming for families, all the information they get in. So we talk to them about just having some kind of a system of organizing that information so it's at their hands.
You go from the diagnosis to, will my child ever be working and playing and living in the community? And here we are now, you know, working and living. Is that, I mean, is that something that parents need?
Well, I think that it is. I think that for any family member who has a child with a disability, and whatever that disability is, I think in the disability field, we're so focused on the disability that we forget to focus on the strengths and talents and the progress that individuals make. And to realize that for some individuals, that progress is very visible and very great. But for some individuals, it's very small. But you still have to keep track of it. There's a young woman, that young student that I've been working with for a number of years, and she could not sit. I know that sounds simple, but she couldn't sit. You know, she was running around her home, she was running around the classroom, and the fact that she is now sitting for half an hour, that is major for her. And I think that in any way that we can help parents celebrate those successes and the successes for their individual child, no matter how big or small they are, is really an important thing to do.
Now let's talk about the IIDC website, and you have videos on there of the House of Autism videos. Talk about that, because those are, to me, were amazing, and just navigating autism spectrum disorder. Talk about that.
So we know that 70% of all of us are visual learners. And we know
I am
too. And we know that many individuals on the spectrum are really need visual supports in place. Mm-hmm. So in response to that, we have put together a catalog of visual supports that any professional or family member it can access and download. They are all free. There is no charge for them.
Awesome.
But then we worked with Hamilton Boone Madison with Noblesville School District on setting up an apartment that would illustrate how families could use those visual supports in their home. And so that's a YouTube called Autism House, and there's two parts to it. So the visual supports are on our website, and then that YouTube shows families how they can use those visual supports. Now, I will tell you that the YouTube shows a lot of visual supports in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
A household would not do that. I think the thing is that when you use visual supports, you want to use them in a very meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have to add, we do a lot with embedding visual supports into school cultures. And what we have found is that those visual supports not only help the students on the spectrum, but they help students all students. I mean,
sure.
My grandson has a visual support in his classroom.
Sure.
And he does not have autism, but it comes out of the autism community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're really looking at universal design with that as well.
Mm-hmm. And does that help, that universal design, does that help, like your grandson, if he would come into contact with someone who's on the spectrum, would that be normal for him? I mean, just because he's been exposed to those sorts of things, would that be normal to him?
Yeah, he doesn't find it to be unusual, but I don't know if it's because he grew up with me, too,
sure.
So that could have an impact on it as well. But I think the other side of it is that you have to know that some of our folks on the spectrum do not want to look different. They know they're different, and they don't want to be treated differently, and they don't want to look different. And so for them to have the accommodations in place that are used school-wide is a lovely approach.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So here's the discussion. We're talking about healthcare and Medicaid reform on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
How could these changes, I mean, we've talked about these changes and the devastation that it could have.
Mm-hmm.
How can families keep informed potential changes?
Well, I think the ARC of Indiana has Michelle Trivedi, who does a great job on insurance. So she is a really good resource. And I think the thing that I'm kind of learning as we all adjust to this new administration is that to realize that it's a political process. And so you have to kind of see how it plays out.
Sure.
And not wait in, you know, not get upset at every step along the way, but wait to see what happens. I think for me, the concern is that we've really fought hard to get rights for individuals. I mean, I remember years ago when a child with autism was denied health insurance coverage for an appendectomy because it was considered to be part of their diagnosis of autism and a pre-existing condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we've made great strides. Indiana has got the gold standard of health insurance mandates.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, many, many, many children have been able to access early intervention services for free.
Yeah.
You know, or covered by their health insurance.
Yeah.
So I would just hope that the benefits that we have reaped for our individuals aren't lost in that process.
Well, you know what? Having a resource like you, being here in the autism community and disability community, we are so happy that you have taken so many years and taken so much heart in the autism community. Kathy Pratt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye. For more information, search for Indiana Resource Center for Autism, IRCA, or go to our website, www.arcind.org.